Commute to join them every Sunday in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be together today to receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament. We welcome our district president, James Maxwell, who will be worshiping with us and offering our sermon this morning as well. Great to have him here with us. On my heart this morning is the way that life and the world can just make it tough sometimes to go through every day. And yet our Lord reminds us in John's gospel that He's overcome this world, and he comes to us this morning to give us his strength, his gifts, and all good things in his word and sacrament. So we're glad you're here with us for that. Have a wonderful service planned for you this morning. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio. Thank you for joining us that way as well. Pray our service is a blessing to you too this morning. Our service begins with our hymn of invocation. That's hymn 807 in the hymnal in front of you. So we do invite on the last verse of that hymn, if the congregation would stand at that time on the last verse. And we sing together hymn 807, When Morning Gilds the Skies. Let's sing. begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with our intro this morning from Psalm 34. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. We sing our Kyrie and Gloria together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord of grace and mercy, teach us by your Holy Spirit to follow the example of your Son in true humility, that we may withstand the temptations of the devil and with pure hearts and minds avoid ungodly pride. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the book of Proverbs in the 25th chapter. It is the glory of God to conceal things. But the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the children up at this time for our children's sermon. You guys want to come on up? Well, hello, hello. How are you guys?
Good.
Good, good. Hey, guess what I brought with me? Something kind of interesting. Have you guys ever seen one of these things before?
Yes.
What is this? This one's pretty bright too, so I won't shine it in anybody's eyes. It's a flashlight, right? Tell me what the purpose of a flashlight is. To see in the dark. Yeah, what does it do when you turn it on? It makes light, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Hey, did you know that Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world? Have you ever heard that before? No? Oh, he does. He says, you are the light of the world. Do you think that a flashlight could help us understand what he's talking about? No, I think it might be able to. So real quick, close your eyes. Imagine yourself in a really, really, really dark room. And then somebody opens the door, and they turn on a flashlight. And all of a sudden you can what?
See.
See, yeah. That's exactly how God's word is. When Jesus is telling us that we're the light of the world, what he's letting us know is that he's given us the gift of his word. And we're able to share that. And through us, his word can shine out and let a lot of people see what they can't see. And do you know what it is that they can't see? Yeah, they can't see God. They have a hard time knowing what about God. How does God feel about you guys? How does he feel? He loves us, yeah. That's what people don't know. That's how they're in the darkness, is they think, if they do think about God, they don't know that he's a God who loves them and a God that forgives their sins. They think he might even be mad at them. But he's not, right? And how do we know for sure that he's not mad at us? What showed us that? The Bible tells us that, yeah. What did Jesus do that shows us that God loves us? Good job. He died on the cross for us, that's right. And that shows us God's love, and that is the light. And when Jesus is telling us that we're the light of the world, and that we have his word, how do you think that one of the best ways to shine on other people is if we're really going to be the light? What can we do for other people that would show them God? Help them? Yeah. Yeah, show them God's word and his love, right? So if somebody's mean to us, we don't be mean back, right? But we be kind and we show God's love. And that lets us be a light to shine on others for God. Being kind, if somebody does something wrong to us, we can forgive them. That's another way to be the light. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's an awesome, awesome thing that God's called us to do as believers. So, hey, fold your hands with me and bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's have a prayer. You guys ready to repeat after me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you made us the bearers of your word. Help us shine it out so others will see that you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome, guys. You can go back to your seats now. Thanks for coming up. Our next reading is a reading from the 131st Psalm. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And our epistle lesson for today comes from the book of Hebrews in the 13th chapter. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison, as those in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, which of you having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day will not immediately pull him out? And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person, and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He said also to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Would you join us in confessing our faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten as his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for today? That's hymn 842, Son of God, Eternal Savior. Let's sing.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. For those of you who I have not met before, and I've met a lot of you because I am here from time to time, I find myself. But anyway, I am Pastor James Maxwell. I serve two roles. One is that I'm still a part-time parish pastor at Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs. That's where Lucy and Kim were members quite a long time ago, I think. Yeah, quite a little bit. It's been some time. And I always say that part first, that I am still a part-time parish pastor linked to a congregation, because it directly impacts my second role as the district president. Because wherever I am visiting on a Sunday morning, I tell our full-time pastor where I'm going so that they can make sure to pray in church for the sister congregation where I'm visiting. So you, my brothers and sisters, are prayed for by the saints at Rock of Ages this morning, which is kind of neat because they both get to track everywhere I go. It's kind of the Pastor James tracker. And part two to that is they get to be involved in a greater sort of ministry. They have a connection with the church at large that they did not have before, if not simply by prayer. The second hat that I wear is that I serve as the district president of the Rocky Mountain District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which has 165 churches over the states of Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, a little bit of Texas we call El Paso, two congregations in Nebraska, and one in Arizona. It is the largest contiguous geographic district in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The only district that's bigger is the Pacific Northwest, and they cheat because they have Alaska. I just consider that cheating, okay? We're actually together. We're landlocked. But it's a tremendous amount of territory to cover. And thus far, out of those 165, I think you're about my 95th or 96th visit. I am trying my best to get around to the different churches on Sunday mornings and simply encourage you, because I know that it is a difficult time in our country, a difficult time in general to be Christians. And more people still need to know that Jesus loves them, and we will need each other more and more and more as the days are drawing close to our Lord's return. And as another segue, when I first wanted to come to see you, I did not know that Pastor Cody has been with you for 10 years now. I've known Pastor Cody long enough now that I still remember when he was a lowly vicar and not yet a full grown-up pastor, which is kind of cool. Anyway, all this will dovetail nicely, I think, the celebratory nature of why we're here this morning and the great work that God gives each and every one of us to do and how we can partner more together. It dovetails into our epistle reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And know this morning that I'm not going to place a lot of emphasis on the first part of this verse, that is, the obeying your leaders and submitting to their authority. Obeying leaders and submitting to them is kind of like when we come upon that quite whimsical passage in Ephesians chapter 5, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Such verses are just plain difficult to preach on, perhaps due to the great lack of obedient women in our world, but in any case, I want to focus on the latter part of that verse. Let them do so with joy and not with groaning. I had a meeting a number of years ago with a wonderful lady, who, before she retired, she served as the placement director at one of our Lutheran colleges for all the new teachers, the directors of Christian education, the youth workers that were graduating. And she would oversee the calling process and help make sure that teachers got jobs and Lutheran schools got teachers. And she asked for a meeting with me because she had some theories as to why our Lutheran school teachers burn out so quickly and either leave teaching altogether for a different line of work or they move on to a different school system. I asked, well, is it because we don't pay them a living wage? She said, no. You're absolutely right that our teachers really can't afford to live on what we're paying them, but that's not the reason. And at this point, she had my attention because I thought it was all just about dollar signs, right? Okay? Pay is secondary, she said. So many of our teachers are leaving because they simply don't feel appreciated. No one takes the time to tell them how wonderful they are, that they're doing a good job, to make certain that they feel loved. There can be great joy, even amidst a poor salary, long hours, grumpy parents, and then, of course, all the things that our teachers had to deal with during the COVID era. She said, if they had a pastor who constantly encouraged them, if they had a principal who constantly praised them, if they had people in the congregation where the school existed that didn't see the school as a money maker but a ministry, and that the children and the parents were being told about the gospel of Jesus Christ and that was their primary importance, and then they sought opportunities to cheer them on, these were the teachers that stayed and loved their job. And as I personally have been putting together for the better part of the last 3 years plans for our Lutheran district and how to do things differently, how to go into different congregations and tell them that their pastors and church workers can't afford to live off the salary they're providing, and some of that's true, but this gave me a completely different perspective. What will they be willing to do? And what are they doing to give joy to their workers? What kinds of fireworks, hot air balloons, and other fanfare will be brought in just for them? And how does the Church of God not just get to serve, or not just get to be served, but how do they also get to serve in perhaps very small ways? And that's a completely different perspective. There's a church down in Phoenix, Arizona, that every year puts on a conference called Best Practices for Ministry. And this past year, I forced Pastor Jason to go along with me so that he could experience it for himself. And it's all about how church workers can learn to better what they do, learning from others who serve in the ministry just like them. 2,000 pastors, teachers, youth workers, whoever works for the church attends this conference every year. And it's free. All you have to do is go. And good information is shared. You get to learn how to do evangelism. You get to do how to know how to do youth group better. You get to go to any different sectional you want to go. But what makes this conference truly amazing is that members of their church, the kids in their school, they take a week off just to do this in their school. They walk around during the break times with trays of ice cream and Klondike bars and churros and bacon. I kid you not, they had a tray of bacon and all kinds of other delicious things to eat, which are not in any way, shape, or form healthy for you, but they are given freely. There are balloons everywhere. And the 2,000 people people who attend who thought they were simply there to learn about how to be better in their ministry, in their congregation, are told over and over and over again that they are loved and they are appreciated because they share Jesus with others. Thank you for telling others that Jesus loves them. Here, have some bacon. Who does this? Well, apparently you do, because out in the narthex of your church, there's a bin with cheese puffs and beef jerky and all kinds of other good things to eat for Pastor Jason. Oh, that more of our churches would do this. How many churches have failed in this regard? And here, we segue into the realm outside of the church. In your different vocations that each of you have, are you known as the one who encourages people, or are you the grouchy curmudgeon? Those of you who have staff, do you throw candy at them and praise them simply because you can? Those of you who have co-workers, are you cheery with them? Do you bring trays of bacon to work for all to enjoy? That should be a thing. What shouldn't it? Bring a tray of bacon to work day. Those of you who are retired, you have so many opportunities to be a blessing to others. What are you doing? Well, I cook bacon for people who need encouragement. That would be a thing. I think that should be a thing. And if bacon is not your thing, write cards. There was an elderly sainted woman at my congregation named Betty, and she has since gone to be with Jesus. But she had this card ministry, and she bought this special printer for her house, and it printed off all these cards on glitter paper. A 90-year-old lady, she's printing out cards on glitter paper. She was fascinating. But she always found the way to know somehow when I, as her pastor, needed encouragement the most, and then I'd get a card. I've got a whole desk drawer full of cards from her and other people that I've gotten over the years. It's simple, sometimes silly, but it's things like this that communicate to people, hey, and not just for the sake of encouragement, but to say, Jesus loves you. Do not forget that. Your Lord Jesus moved heaven and earth to come down from heaven and suffer and die and rise for you. And if gift giving and card writing, just so you know, that's not my love language. I'm often too busy to tell people how important they are, and not because I'm so awesome. I just simply forget. And I need to pay that encouragement too. And we all need to remember that Jesus loves us so. Everything we've talked about actually gets me very excited that in spite of the fact that many of us have shortcomings, there still is hope because of Jesus. And it equally convicts us and reminds us that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And oh God, be merciful to me because I know what I should do. And oh, how often it is easier to just, well, not. And how many missed opportunities have I had, promises I haven't kept, simple words of affirmation that could have been said but weren't. And since we're all here together this morning to be forgiven by our Lord Jesus Christ, I trust that you can so equally cite all these missed opportunities as easily as I can and bring them before the altar of God so that any guilt that you feel this morning, it goes away. Because we remember that Jesus loves us and for his sake we are forgiven and he takes it all. All this love and this encouragement we're talking about, it's not for making someone feel better, but in remembrance of Jesus and the fact that Jesus has died for your sins and for mine. It's finished, it's paid for, it's done. And even the most unforgivable sin of failing to make bacon for people gets nailed there to the cross with him. And because of this resurrection, because he steps out into the light that first Easter morning, is now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He says to us, friend, move up higher. There's a special place for you right here next to me. And that, my brothers and sisters, believe it or not, is even better than bacon. Encourage one another in this. We are baptized children of God, and nothing can separate us from His great love. And I'm here this morning mostly to share that message of His love with you. But secondly, because I do need your help. And I have a ask of your pastor. And I have an ask of you. And after church, I think you've been told about this, I want to talk to you a little bit about what that means. I want to explain what's been going on in the Rocky Mountain District for the last 10 years, which needs to be better. And then I want to say where we want to go. And then I want to talk about how I hope that you can help. Because as you know, and as we've talked about, it is no secret that we are increasingly in a time when people need more and more and more Jesus, as we all need more and more and more Jesus each and every Sunday. And I pray that this morning you may be so blessed and so forgiven and know that truth beyond anything else. May God be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, through the humiliation of your Son, you called us to a place at your heavenly table. Teach us to treasure this place of honor, and so to spurn the foolish honors of this world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, your Son has come to us who have offended him, and called us to repentance and offered us his forgiveness. Teach us to trust his love whenever we hurt him or offend him, and to go to his house to be forgiven by those called to forgive in his name. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, grant mercy to your holy church here and throughout the world, and to all who confess the name of Jesus Christ, that the unity of the church in doctrine and practice would abound. And Lord, we do lift up to you, of course, the Rocky Mountain District, all the circuits and the circuit visitors, our district president, and all who serve here in the place that you have us. Lord, strengthen them. And Lord, use us to encourage them and bring your love and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you have established the family and the home to be a place where we learn and care and extend your love to one another. We come to you on behalf of your people, asking that you would visit and bless our homes, strengthen and restore our relationships through the healing power of your forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Righteous Judge, bless our nation and those who lead us in this land, and guide those who serve on behalf of this people. Watch over all nations that justice and peace may reign, and grant courage to Christians to endure in faith in times of test, trial, and persecution. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we commend to you all who pass through difficult circumstances, the lonely, the persecuted, the imprisoned, the addicted, those suffering in mind, and those sorts of distresses, and those suffering from bodily affliction as well. Lord, we name before you now from the altar those in the prayers of the church, Dalton Cody, Katie Philly, and her baby for a healthy pregnancy, Izzy Wieskamp, Connie Hauser, Letha and Tom Hershey, Jairus Yetzi, Helen Allendale, Lauren Ohawe, Jeff Autopolik, Frank and Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Larry Reinberger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sunny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. God, comfort them with your promise that you will never leave or forsake them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you prepare for us a heavenly feast this day. Grant us faith to cherish this banquet of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And being honored by a place at your table this morning, inspire us to spurn all the small and fleeting honors of this world. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, dear Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy an instrumental piece from our organist. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in, and we pray the Lord's blessings on your week to come, and that you also would remember the love that God has for you and his forgiveness as well. If you're gathered in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin, and we're there in the middle of page 10 for our service of the Holy Sacrament. Please stand if you're able as we begin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings You so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for Your boundless love shown to us when You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on Him our sin, giving Him into death that we might not die eternally. Because He is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in Him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying, blessed are You, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for You have had mercy on us and given us Your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. In Your righteous judgment, You condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and You justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in Your great mercy, You promised salvation by a second Adam, Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made His cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in Him. We give You thanks for the redemption You have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us Your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of His cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in His body and blood. Hear us as we pray in His name and as He's taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. When He'd given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper. And when He'd given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.